come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
This is a recorded presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible study titled The Acts of the Apostles, a chapter by chapter, verse by verse study through Acts chapters 1 through 16. More information about this study is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com.
Lord Jesus, I thank you, Father, for this morning. I thank you, Lord, for all the things that you have prepared for us. Lord, for all the things that you prepared in us, and you've prepared us for it and prepared it for us. So, Lord, we know that you are in complete control, absolute complete control. I thank you, Father, for doing it. I thank you, Lord, for your presence with us. In your presence is fullness of joy. And I just thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit that is obviously here. He is obviously amongst us, and I thank you, Lord, for the touch of the Holy Spirit on these group of ladies. I thank you, Lord, for the way that you have ministered to us already before we got here. You've spoken to each one of us this morning. I know you have. And so, Lord, I thank you for the privilege of standing before these ladies, and I pray, Lord, that you would make sense of these notes and just help us to walk through it and learn what you want us to learn. So we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. And so here we are in chapter 3, and something that I wanted to go over really quickly for you, the Holy Spirit. We talked about the Holy Spirit is with us. The Holy Spirit is with everyone. It is the Holy Spirit that draws us to Christ. And so the Holy Spirit is with every human being, causing them to want to accept Christ. And then in John 20, we see then the Holy Spirit is in you. He breathed in the Holy Spirit. Jesus breathed into them the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit was in them. Now what we are covering is the Holy Spirit upon you. And when we look at this and we say the Holy Spirit upon you, it sounds like it's just like it was with the apostles there, that the cloves of fire are over our head. It's not just over our head. We are completely immersed in the Holy Spirit. That's why they call it the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you've heard that term and you're not familiar with it, it's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit because you are completely immersed. The rain has been coming down just a bit, do you think? By the way, we were coming back from our little trip on Saturday on the freeway, in the rain, I am so thankful I wasn't driving, and Lisa was one of our drivers, and Sally was the other driver, and I'm just sitting there going, okay, God. I've been caught in a flash flood before. So the thought of being caught in another flash flood was a little depending on the Holy Spirit. Okay, so it's been raining a bit, and the rain has washed away some things, hasn't it? It's washed away some things. It's come down so much that it's washed away some things. And I kind of look at that and I think, you know what, that is the way that the Holy Spirit works in us. It comes in a torrent sometimes like that, and it washes out those things that are not appropriate, not conducive to what God has for us, not the best thing for us. And it comes in, and he comes in a torrent, and he washes that through. But then the Holy Spirit comes, and he comes like a rain that just is a constant, gentle rain, the kind that soaks in, and it soaks down, and it causes new growth to happen. That is also a part of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We get gifts from the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When we've been baptized by the Holy Spirit, there are gifts that God gives to us, and we're going to deal with another gift right here. Last week, we dealt with the gift of speaking in other tongues. Now, we're going to be dealing with the gift of healing. And so all of these things are a part of being baptized in the Holy Spirit, being immersed in us, or us being immersed in it, in Him. It so immerses you that it's natural to listen to and to respond to the Holy Spirit. We are so saturated that it becomes natural for us to listen to and to respond to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And in our text, we see a complete change in Peter. All of the disciples, really, but our text is dealing particularly with Peter here. John was here, but we see Peter being the spokesman of this particular text. In our text, we see Peter. The baptizing of the Holy Spirit changed some things about Peter. It gave him super abilities. The Holy Spirit gives us super abilities. Superheroes are the big deal right now, right? Oh, I can do this, I can do that, I can fly, I can whatever. That's for the comics. I can't find any way, I can't get my head wrapped around the right words. Super abilities. God gave Peter power to be his witness. He gave him everything he needed to have the power to be a witness for Jesus Christ. That's how it works. So in our text, we see Peter stopping at the prompting of the Holy Spirit and saying, catch my eye, look at me, look up at me. Before the Holy Spirit came upon him, Peter had hidden himself as much as possible. He went back to fishing. He went back to this. He tried to hide and not be noticed amongst the group. We see him reaching out. He's going to reach down to take the hand of the lame man. Before, he would pull back in his hiding. He wouldn't reach out. You know, we can't do that with all those people. Now we have him reaching out. We see him lifting up another by the power of the Holy Spirit. He's lifting up someone else. It's not about his good words. It's not about him. It's not about anything that he's done or said or could do or could say. He is just, before he thought only of himself. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, comes upon me, we will receive power to become Christ's witnesses. And that is that we have the power to evangelize. We are evangelizing. When we say that we have the power to be his witnesses, to be his witness is evangelizing. We are living for him. We are showing what Jesus does in our lives. He comes bearing gifts, the Holy Spirit, gifts that are needed at certain points to bring people to Christ. God will give you all you need to accomplish whatever he's called you to do. All you need to accomplish whatever he's called you today. Our text records the first miracle by disciples and the second sermon by Peter. So the first miracle by the disciples and the second sermon by Peter. So we find Peter and John together going to the temple for daily prayer, 9 a.m., 12, noon, and 3 p.m. They hung on to some things of the Jewish rituals at that time. This was all new to them. And so they're going for that time of prayer. And I am so excited that they went for that time of prayer, that they hung on to that. Because in prayer is where we get our power. In talking to the Lord is where we get our power. We strengthen one another when we pray together, when we stand with each other. And by the way, on Friday mornings, if you're not doing anything, we have the women's prayer meeting here at 9:30. Come, see what it is to pray together with some other people if you haven't been there before. If you're going there on a regular basis, thank you so much for doing it. I'm also told that on Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday morning at 7 a.m., they are meeting for prayer. So you can come and meet on one of those days, and there'll be someone here to pray with you and for the needs of you or for the needs of others. And then on Wednesday morning, tomorrow morning, There are a bunch of us that get together at 7 a.m. right here in the cafe. And Dan sometimes joins us. Joe sometimes joins us. And it's a great time. And we've done things during that time of prayer where we have anointed someone with oil to pray for them, because that's what the Bible says to do, to call for the elders. I figure I'm elder enough to be able to anoint someone with oil. And so we're doing the things that are in Acts. So that's why I want to encourage you to be there for prayer. And so that was the thing that they hung on to, one of the things. And so now Peter and John went up together to the temple. They were together. They did it not alone, but together at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, 3 p.m. And a certain man. I love this, that we have no name for this man. It was just a certain man. Because what happened in his life can happen in my life. Because we're not talking about a particular person with a name, we're talking about a certain man. And when it just opens up that door for us. He was lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, and he was there for the purpose of gathering money from those who entered the temple. Okay, so a certain man, we've gone through that. He was lame from the day that he was born, and we have evidence in the next chapter, I believe it is, that he was 40 years old. So 40 years, or at least 40 years old, he'd been laying there by his family at the temple door. Never in the temple, just at the door. Never entering in, just at the door. And so many of us know people like that. Others took him there, but he couldn't go in. He was considered unclean, imperfect. By the way, someone has brought my attention to the fact that with all of the research that's going for all the different diseases besides cancer, all the different things that could go wrong in a baby that's born, you see very few of those children today. You see very few crippled children being born. Why is that? Because in New York, they've taken all restrictions off of abortion, and they kill the baby after it's born. If it's a botched abortion, they didn't kill it. They will leave it and not care for it. They will not feed it. They will allow it to die. 11 other states are considering these same kinds of laws. 11. And in New York City, as we saw the freeze that went over there, it's like the coldness of the hearts of the people. Not all people feel that way in New York. But the leaders that are making these laws need the hand of God on them. And we can make a difference by praying. And if God tells you to write to somebody, to talk to somebody, you do that. But you need to pray. We need to pray, because it's the work of the Holy Spirit that's going to change these things. And so he couldn't go in because he was imperfect. He was at the gate that led into the court of women, which was just inside the court of the Gentiles. Everyone could be there. And so men and women could be in the court of women. So it was on the way to where the men could go. The men on their way, and the women would remain there. His friends had brought him to the entrance, and maybe even it has been his family who has brought him this far. Our families and our friends can bring us to the door of worship and praise and commitment, but that's as far as our friends and families can take us. And that's as far as we can take our family or friends. We can take them to the door, and we can leave them there, and we can see what God will do. but we can take him there. It's up to us to enter in. He was at the gate called Beautiful. It was 50 cubits high. It was so laden with silver and gold, and it was bigger than any of the other doors. It had thicker plating of silver and gold and adornment than any of the other doors. It was 10 cubits higher than any of the other doors, and it was beautiful. It said that this is perhaps the gate that Jesus, or that the Messiah, would come through, the one that is blocked off now. That's one of the things that they said it would be. But what a contrast to have this lame man sit at a gate so laden with beauty, asking for money. The people coming in would see him. Was he dressed nicely? Probably not. Stark contrast between the doors and him. We sing the song to Jesus, "You are beautiful, you are beautiful, you are beautiful." This is the gate called Beautiful. The gate that is so beautiful that makes us think about Jesus. Jesus is that gate whereby we enter in, that we might bring praise and worship to the one who is worthy of all praise, worthy of all honor, worthy of all glory. So that beggar is that sharp contrast. He asks for alms. He asks for a handout. He probably did well at that place. He'd been there a long time. See, they were going in prepared to put money into the temple. So they came with their money. He was in a good place. And many people probably paid money to him. And so Peter, who seeing verse 3, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms, the lame man, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us. Fix your eyes on them, on us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Whenever we look at Jesus, and what they were being asked to look at was not the eyes of Peter, but it was to look into the eyes of the Holy Spirit that was in action right here. And it says that he fixed his eyes on them. He was watching them intently as they walked up. He was already watching them as they came up to him. And then Peter says, "Fix your eyes on us. Look at us. Really look at us. Look into our eyes. And you will receive something." Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." I can't give you what I don't have. I don't have money. I can't give you what I don't have. And I'll tell you, ladies, we can't give anybody else what we don't have. If we do not have the Holy Spirit at work in our lives, we can't pass that on to anyone else. If we are not praying in our own lives, we can't pass that on to someone else. We can't give someone else something that we don't have. But he says, "What I can give you, I'm going to give you. And you're asking for money, and I'm going to give you legs. But it's not me that's doing it." It could go on further, and it'll say, "It's not me that's doing it. You're looking at us, but it's not us." And so we go on with this story. Peter reaches out. He takes the hand of the lame man in verse 7, just like Jesus reaches out and takes our hand. And it says, immediately, he was born lame. We don't know what was wrong with his feet. We don't know what was wrong with his legs. We know that he was born lame, which means he never used the muscles. He never used the bones. Maybe they were in a wrong direction. We don't know. But this says, immediately, these legs were straight and able to hold his weight. That is impossible in the natural. You go for a surgery on your knee, on your legs, or any of that part of your body. What do you do afterwards? Physical therapy. Why? Because the muscles are weak. They're not strong enough to hold you up. You need to strengthen them so that they hold everything together. This man did not need physical therapy. Immediately he was healed. Just like that. And it says that he leapt up. And I would love to give you an illustration of that. But my muscles are not healed. He leapt up. And he's standing. Can you look at his face right now? Can you see him? Hi. Do you think that's what he was doing, like standing in one place, afraid to move? It says that he hung on to Peter and John. And there he is. And not only that, in verse 8, it says, so he, leaping up, stood and walked. And where did he go? Into the temple. He has never been in the temple before. He's entering into a place that he has never been before. He was only at the door. That's what happens when we accept Christ into our hearts. We enter into that door of salvation. We enter in and we stand in there and we are rejoicing. We have the praise that only we can have when we have entered in to what God has for us. And so he went in and he was praising God. He had never been in this place before. And he went walking and leaping and praising God, walking and leaping and praising God in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. You guys all need to learn that song. I can see that you don't know it or you don't remember it. He was walking and leaping and praising God. Can you see it? Can you see it happening? With all the pomp and circumstance of the temple, let us get out the Torah. Let us now read. Oh, look at it! I've been healed! Oh my God! Thank you, Jesus! Thank you. It interrupted the organization, and sometimes the Holy Spirit does that. It interrupts our organization, having everything in place, everything like we want it, where we're comfortable. Sometimes the Holy Spirit makes us uncomfortable, right? Okay, and so it's a natural thing for us when we accept the Lord to want to worship and praise. And it says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. In the name. There is something, what is in a name? At this time, everything, your reputation was in your name, your family was in your name, everything about you was wrapped up in your name. And it says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that Jesus, the one from Nazareth, the one that we call the Christ, that Jesus, in his name, because of his reputation, that he died and he rose again. Because of that reputation, he, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And so on, all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. They were filled with wonder. They were filled with amazement at what had happened to him. Wouldn't you be? Filled with wonder, filled with amazement. What? What happened? We know this man, but he's different. He looks so tall. He's walking and leaping and praising God. Now, as the lame man who was healed held onto Peter and John, verse 11, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. They all went into the place that they could go into. They went as far as they could go to be able to see what was going on. And so they're all there. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people. And here's what he responded. It's not a normal thing for a man to do this. It's not a normal thing for a woman to do this. To say, I'm not taking the credit for that. What do you look at me for? Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us, as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? We've all seen people pray for other people to be healed. And we have seen what has happened as people, some of the things are more dramatic than the other things. Are the healings real? That's only for God to decide and for the people. But what happens? The glory gets taken off of God and gets put on the man or on the person that did the praying. I was just the vehicle. I was just the prayer. I just asked. That's all I did. I didn't do any healing. I didn't do this. I can't do this. It's not in my, I'm not capable of this. And so the power of godliness, that as though we had made this man walk. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, his son Jesus, his servant Jesus. Jesus came as a servant. And now we have him named that way. Whom you delivered up, you denied in the presence of Pilate. He goes through the whole story. You guys know the story. I have in my notes that Peter said, it's not my fault that this guy is walking, but God gets the glory for it all. And so the servant whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined, Pilate was determined to let him go. And you, Jews, insisted that he be put to death. But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. You guys all know this story. And killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. We were there, we saw it, and some of you guys saw it too. And his name, through faith, in his name, has made this man strong whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And so it is the word of God. The faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10, 17. Here we have a gift of faith being manifested. He's telling us there is a gift of faith, being able to believe that things can be done, that there's no other way that I could believe it. It is a gift of faith. The word of God, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Get into the word of God, and I know I'm speaking to the choir here because here you are in Bible study. You are learning the word of God. Don't stop when the Bible study ends. Stay in the word of God. It is your lifeline. Write those scriptures out. Write those scriptures out. If you're not doing it, start today. Write those scriptures out and know the word of God. Verse 17, but now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did your rulers. I know that you didn't know. I know that you didn't know. And the things that I've learned, but those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets, all, circle, all his prophets, that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled, just like he said he would. You did it in ignorance, but you didn't know, but now you know, and here's my proof. Isaiah 53 is what they would have known it from. Told you all you needed to know about this man. It says that the Messiah would suffer, and Jesus has fulfilled this. And then verse 19, repent, because now you know, repent, therefore, be converted, change, turn around. We talked about the word repent last week. Turn around, go the other direction. Be converted. change yourselves, but you can't change yourselves. It's a work of the Holy Spirit, that your sins may be blotted out so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Times of refreshing could come from the presence of the Lord. We get that refreshing from being in the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before. That's in Malachi 3:1. In Malachi 3:1, in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. That was Psalm 16:11. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And then when we move into verse 20 here, and that is at Malachi 3:1, behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord, whom you seek, will suddenly come to his temple, where you're at right now, he's saying, in our text, in the temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. And Jesus sits at the right hand of God the Father, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. Jesus sits at the right hand of God for now, but he is coming back. He is coming back. Verse 22, for Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Yes, and all the prophets, from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days. And so to as many as all of the prophets said it. So this was all done for you. He's saying, this was all done for you. He's speaking to the Jews. This was all done for you. The Jew first, and also to the Gentile. The Jew first. I promised you this, Jesus is saying. Yes, and all the prophets, verse 24, from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days. You are sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. This is an interesting thing. In your seed, and now we're all doing this ancestry thing. Wouldn't it be interesting if we all found out we had a little bit of Jew in us? Wouldn't it be interesting how it all goes back to that? Anyway, to you first, God having raised up his servant. Now, he's talking to the Jews, right? He's right there in the temple. He's talking to the Jews that are there to worship. To his servant, raised up his servant. Jesus sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities, forgiving your sins. To you first, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities by forgiving you your sin. God said to the Jews, I said I will send you the Messiah, and I am a man of my word. And the Messiah has come. This that you see is witness. It shows you who Jesus is by the way of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the fulfillment of the Word of God. He is the fulfillment of the Word of God. Peter was greatly used of God. He changed when the Holy Spirit came upon him. Didn't you change when the Holy Spirit came upon you? Didn't you change? I changed. And all of us changed in different ways. When we said, Holy Spirit, come upon me, some were like, oh, they were all excited, and they're jumping around, they're dancing around. Others, it was just that quiet knowing. I have what God promised me. I have every single thing I need. He became a man who listened to God and was moved by the Spirit. Peter had a great knowledge of the scripture. He was a man of the word. Learn the scriptures, study the scriptures, hide the scriptures in your heart. Never give up, never give up. God has wonderful things prepared for you. And when some things come that you don't think are wonderful, know that God has prepared you for it and it for you. And so we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, God, for your presence with us. We thank you, Lord, for energy. I thank you for excitement. I thank you, God, that you are amongst us, that you, in all of the horrible things that are going on in some of our lives, Lord, horrible things going on in some of our lives, in the midst of that, you said, in your presence is fullness of joy, that joy unspeakable and full of glory. So we thank you, Lord, that you have planted that in our hearts. Help us to be that witness for you and to give glory to you, to always give glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. I will see you next week.
Giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name. Giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.